Matthew 24, I begin reading in verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Together in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now this verse, these verses are given, this text is given, in the idea of end times. I think you can tell that from what's being said here. And there's several truths, actually several important truths being taught that we're not going to look into. But we're really going to focus on verse 34 and use that to launch into some other verses to help us tonight. Here's what it says in verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. We're talking about, what does that mean, this generation shall not pass? There's several things being taught here, but I think there's one thing that is important that we gloss over a lot of times that I think we need to look at together tonight. So let's pray. Let's see what the Lord has for us. Father, I do pray that you would help us as we look now at your word and trust, Lord, that you would use it to encourage us and to not just encourage us, but Lord, to get us focused and to get us busy serving you. And Lord, any good thing happens, we'll give you the praise and the glory. Pray that you would meet with us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here's what we're preaching on tonight. What to focus on for the future. What to focus on for the future. Now, let me kind of give you say it this way by way of introduction. We're looking at our nation, or let me put it this way, I'm looking at the nation, and we've just elected someone who has accomplishments in multiple areas, but probably as far as our culture right now, our current culture, what he's known for is we've elected an actor as a president. And the Democrats can't say enough negatives. It's like they think he's going to blow up the world. Can't say enough negatives about him. Our nation as a whole, maybe not every area of our nation, but as a whole, seems to be economically stagnant. There just doesn't seem to be, just kind of leveled out, not really doing much great economically. There are some who say that our best days are behind us, that this is just the way it is. No one can do anything about it. Best days are gone. We just got to deal with it. The Middle East is on fire. Iran is a huge problem. Big problem. All the time, every time the Middle East comes up, Iran becomes a topic of that conversation. Now, as I'm looking at the nation and considering these things, now think about this, what I'm about to say. As I'm looking at the nation, considering these things, I'm in 11th grade at University High School. What I just described to you was 1980. That's exactly the description of 1980. We elected an actor. Democrats couldn't say enough negative things about him. He was crazy, going to blow up the world. Our nation was economically stagnant, and the Middle East was on fire. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, I think the best description of present and future time put together was said by Brother Howes. They asked him once, they said, well, what do you think about today based on how it used to be? And he said this, he said, it's the same play, different act. That's a good description, I think, of our country. Same play, different actors. Now, there have been events and prospect of events in each generation that have caused us to consider what we call end times. Every generation, that's why I'm looking at that verse in verse 30, 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Every generation has looked at their generation saying, well, it must be this generation because look at all that we see that's going on around us. Now, think about this. We have been talking about the end ever since the beginning. I'm talking about Adam and Eve beginning. In the days of Adam, they were talking about the end. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because the Bible tells us. Hold your place in Matthew. Go with me to the book of Jude. Jude chapter number 1. You don't know where Jude is. Jude is right before Revelation. So if you got to Revelation, you just back up a book and you're in Jude. I would suggest going to chapter 1. That'd be my suggestion. If you got chapter 2, you might want to get a different Bible. Jude, look with me at verse number 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So, no, wait a minute now. He was the seventh from Adam. He was. But when this is happening, Adam, you know, Adam lived a pretty long time. But you say, well, Methuselah is the longest. Why? You're right. But Adam was in the 900 plus years too. And so Enoch was, when Enoch was born, Adam was still alive. And so Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these saying, now watch this, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Doesn't that sound like end times to you? He's talking about the coming of the Lord. What we look at is the physical second coming of Christ to the earth. And then he says in verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. It sounds like today, doesn't it? And so we've been talking about end times ever since the beginning. And so every generation has had these events and these prospect of events that would cause us to consider the end times. Now go back with me again to Matthew 24 and notice again what he says in verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And there are several things I want you to This is now just foundational stuff. Just stay with me here for a few moments. Several things I want you to get. Number one, I want you to know there is a generation that shall see the end. There is a last generation. That's what he's talking about here. There is this generation that's going to see these things. And he says this generation that sees these things, it's going to happen in their lifetime. So there is a final generation. There is a last generation. Now the world mocks it. When we talk about end times, you know what the world does? They have some long-haired guy in a robe with a sign, the end is near, the end is near. And they always make fun of it, they mock it, they're laughing at it. They're having some jokes at our expense. I'm gonna tell you, there is a last generation. The end is coming. You say, well, people have been preaching that for 2,000 years. Actually, they've been preaching it longer than that. We just saw Jude, right? Talking about Enoch. They've been preaching for 6,000 years. But just like Jesus came right on time the first time, He's going to come right on time the second time. Just like He, exactly according to God's prophecy, calendar, and in preparation, He came the first time, it's going to happen the second time as well. So the end is coming. There is a generation that shall see the end. We know that. We know, secondly, is this, that Jesus will return unexpectedly, suddenly. It's going to happen in a way, especially the rapture, and then even the second coming. Now some, when it comes to the official second coming, some will see these things and know it's happening, but most of the world will be surprised by it. Most of the world's not going to put two and two together. They're going to have their own plans, as we see in Psalms 2, and their own thoughts about what they're going to do. Now, since there is a last generation, and since when Jesus left, when he ascended up to heaven, and the angel said, this same Jesus shall so come again. And we've been looking for Jesus coming, and every generation has been looking for Jesus to come, and there is a last generation. Now, since every generation is then a prospect, now watch this, since every generation is a prospect to be the last generation, wouldn't that be true? Remember what he said? What did Paul say? Paul said, we which are alive and remain. Paul thought his generation was going to be the last generation. So every generation thought that there was going to be the last generation. Every generation is looking for the return of Christ, as they should be. There is a last generation, and every generation has thought they're going to be their last generation, and he's going to come unexpectedly. That means this, we put it all together. that every generation has the ingredients to be the last generation. Wouldn't that make sense? If we're supposed to be looking for, and these things are going to happen, now I'm not, again, I don't want to get in the long side route about rapture and the revelation and that. We've talked about that many times. Okay? So we know there's no prophecy prior to the rapture, but all these other things are prior to the physical return revelation of Christ. But as these things are happening, every generation thinks, well, look, there's a one world government setting up. Look what we see around us. Boy, it looks like, and every generation has had these ingredients. Because every generation has been, by prospect, the last generation. And there is going to be a last generation. And so, as we consider that, I want you to go back with me now to Matthew 24 and look with me in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Well, first thing it tells us this, the book that comes out on January 1st, it says 2017 reasons why Jesus is coming in 2017, don't have to worry about buying it. Okay? Okay? No man knows. We don't know that we can't, if they say, well, it's going to be on this date, on in this hour, you can already throw the book away. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But we know he's coming. Now, because we know he's coming, now watch this. Now, this is kind of a transition to get us into the rest of the message. Since every generation has the ingredients to be the last generation, and only the Lord himself knows the actual day and hour that he's coming, that means this. That only God himself knows the outcome of what we're doing right now. We have no idea. Is Jesus going to come in our lifetime? We don't know. Is this the last generation? We don't know. So all we know is this, that he's going to come. One of these generations are going to be the last generation. Our generation could be the last generation. We have the ingredients here because every generation does. There's going to be a last one. And only the Lord knows which is the last one. Only the Lord knows the outcome of all these things we're doing. So that means this. This is kind of the transition to get us to where we're going. So each generation then must ask themselves, well, what does the future hold for us? What should we be focusing on? If we're the last generation, then what should we be thinking? How should we be looking at life? How should we be looking at the world? So we must understand that we could be the last generation. But also we have to understand that we may not be. So we have to consider some things, some choices. This may be the last generation before the return of Christ. Isn't that kind of exciting? This may be it right here. This may be the last generation and Jesus is coming. Or it could be there's another 1,000 years. We don't know. But we know there's going to be a last one. So we ask ourselves, well, what does the future hold? What should we be focusing on? How should we be looking at life if this may be the last generation or it may not be? How do we balance the two together? Therefore, you watch this now. Therefore, God has charged each generation with the same task. Because each generation could be the last generation, then each generation has the same task in its generation. Go with me to Matthew 24. Again, look with me in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find, what's the last two words? So doing. He cometh, shall find, so doing. So what he's saying is this. What is our job in this generation? Thinking this, what if this is the last generation? But what if it's not? What if Jesus is coming in our lifetime, but what means not in another 1,000 years? How do we look at the future? What do we focus on? What should be our mindset about this? And what the Lord is telling us is this. Our mindset as believers in our generation, like every generation before us, and if we're not the last generation and generations come after us, our focus, our mindset is this. We are focused on our effort not on the outcome. Because only the Lord knows the outcome. Only the Lord knows when He's coming. Only the Lord knows the end result of all these things. Here's what He says. If you knew it was going to be on this day, you'd be busy up to that day. Now, there's some carnal people, I'm sure. If you knew the Lord was coming in a week, you'd say, boy, I can charge my every credit card up for 7 days and live high on the hog. But spiritual people who are serious about living for the Lord, if you knew in your heart, I mean, you knew for sure that in 7 days was a rapture, what would you do? You probably wouldn't go to work for the next 7 days. You say, forget work. I'm going to witness every person I witness to. If there's anything in my life, I'm going to make sure I get some things right. I'm going to tell everyone I can tell about the Lord because this is it. This is the 7 days. And so the idea is this. Only the Lord really knows the outcome. So we're supposed to be thinking if this is the last generation, even if it's not the last generation, we need to be focused on the effort the Lord has for us. So our job in this generation is the same job every generation has had, which is the same job that Jesus emphasized to that generation of the apostles. And that is this, be busy, be busy, be busy, be busy, and let the Lord worry about how things turn out. So what should we focus on? Well, I want you to go with me. You might want to put a little bookmark in Matthew 24. We may come back to it, but we'll look at a sister text to this. Look with me to Luke 21, if you will. Again, some teaching the Lord had about end times. Luke 21 kind of deals with this. The similar teaching that he has there in Matthew 24. We're going to use Luke 21 to pull out some things along that line and look at some other verses and probably back to Matthew 24 a little bit as well. Now, there's three things that we're going to look at tonight, three things to focus on in dealing with our effort and dealing with what we're supposed to be doing, regardless of what the outcome, whether Jesus is coming in our generation or Jesus isn't coming for another 1,000 years. What should we be focusing on? Not knowing the outcome, what should our effort be? Well, Luke 21, if you will. Look with me in verse number 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now watch, look at verse 13. He's talking about this happening to them. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. So what should we focus on in our generation? If this is the last generation or not the last generation, what should we focus on? Number one is this. We ought to focus on our testimony. We've got to focus on our testimony. What kind of testimony do we have for the Lord? Now, we're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight. Go with me to Matthew 5. We tend to think about the world and we say, boy, you know, persecution might come in our generation. It may. What we're doing here may not always be available for us. Most of you, I'm sure, your decision was, do I feel good enough to go to church or do I not feel enough? Most of it didn't say, will I get arrested or will I won't get arrested? Will they be raiding our church tonight or not raiding our church tonight? That's not how we look at it, but that may come someday. We look in Acts, and Acts, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the gospel. You know why? Because they were persecuted in Jerusalem. They're being arrested. Some of them being killed for the faith. Now, those days may come again. And we look at those days and say, boy, it's so hard to live for the Lord in those days. It may be true. But there's a great opportunity to live for the Lord in those days. Look with me in Matthew 5, if you will. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give the light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, when we read statements like that, the idea is we're supposed to have a shining testimony. Now, if I had a candle, and I don't, but if I had a candle here, let's just pretend this is a candle, and I lit this candle, let's say it was one of these big long taper candles, and I lit this candle here, Most of you would not notice any change in the light of this room, would you? These lights are so bright, that little candle wouldn't mean anything. But you know, when we have our candlelight service here and all these lights are off, as soon as we light that one candle, you know the difference, don't you? Because the darkness around it means that little light is very bright. Can I say, as we look at the world today, and we look at times they call it, there's a name for it. Some call it post-factual, where facts don't matter anymore. I'm not sure about that. But they call it post-Christian. Was just, I think they use a phrase like that. It's post-Christian. In other words, Christianity is done for. Our American culture is completely away from Christ now and going in a different direction. It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, when the argument is, you know, what kind of bathroom, you know, should men go to men's bathrooms? Should women go to women's? Or should they switch around? Should a man marry a man? Should a man marry a woman? Man marry a goat? I mean, all these different weird things that we discuss, you think, boy, it's pretty simple in the Bible. I mean, it's pretty simple that way. But we're as a culture and as a society, as we put away the Word of God and we look around us, here's what we say. Boy, what can we do now? You know what you can do now? You can shine your light. Today it's more important to live for Jesus than any other day. You know why? Because most of the world is in darkness. Even our own country, even our own culture. It may not be easier today. It may not be more fun today, but it is more necessary today. We need to focus on our testimony in this generation. We need to focus on what our testimony should be. Now, no one wants to suffer. That's just not our human nature. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to have conflict. We don't want to go through difficulty. But often that testimony that means the most is made and molded during those dark times, during those times of suffering and conflict and difficulty. So let me ask you a little bit more direct question. What do you want to be said of you during these days of trouble? That you are fearful, that you're worried, that you're fretful, that you're discouraged, that you're downtrodden? Or do you want to be said, there's someone who had faith in God despite all the things around them? What kind of testimony do you want to have to your family, people at work, people in church? What kind of testimony do you want to have in these times? We sit here and we can be fretful about the world, fretful about our society. Now, there seems to be, again, I always open myself up to criticism when I say something like this, because politics naturally divides people, and I don't put any trust. I don't care if they're R or D or RD or DR. I don't put a whole lot of confidence in politicians, because to be a politician, you almost have to be narcissistic. I mean, you got to be really, really stuck on yourself to put yourself up and say, vote for me. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't put a whole lot of confidence in politics. I try to put a lot of confidence in the Lord. But we seem to have, in our country right now, we seem to go like this because of the election of Donald Trump. We go, wow, maybe things are going to get better. Maybe. We may find out that he's everything bad they say about him. I don't know. But my hope is not in who the president is. My hope is in the Lord. And I want my testimony to be that. That's why I don't like to talk a lot about politics. Because then everything becomes then shaded by that. I want to say this. I don't care who sits in the White House. I know who sits in the throne of heaven. That's my confidence. That's who I look to. That's what I want my testimony to be. Now, our Lord is always concerned about our testimony. Not because we're trying to impress people. Not because we want people to think well of us. But because our testimony should be a light that points people to Jesus. That's why the Lord is concerned about our testimony. I tell you this, in this generation, like in every generation, there is an opportunity to be a witness for Christ. And that's what we ought to look at. That's what we ought to focus on. How can I be a witness for Christ in my generation? That's the first thing we focus on. We focus on our testimony. There's a second thing to focus on. Go back with me to Luke 21. And go with me to verse 16. And it says this, starting in verse 16, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death." Let me just stop. We've seen that happen in different generations. We don't really see it in our day and age. Maybe in other countries, we're not really here. But that day is going to come. Shouldn't surprise us. That's The Lord already tells us this is what's going to happen. Then he says in verse 17, he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Think about that. They're going to hate us because we love Jesus. Verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In other words, we're secure in Christ. Regardless of what they do to this body, we know we have a home in heaven. But then he says this in verse 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. He said, what does that mean? What does it mean, in your patience, possess ye your souls? That just means that we just sit here and, okay, Jesus is coming, he's coming, okay, anytime now, that's not what he's talking about. You know, when I was a kid, which was only just a few years ago, just so you keep, in case you're keeping score. When I was a kid, most of you know who Doris Day is. Now, she's, I suppose, dead by now. Pretty sure she is. But Doris Day used to have a show. She's not dead? 99 years old? Okay. Well, she probably looks like she's dead. How's that? So here's Doris Day. That's not very nice. You shouldn't have said that, Larry. So anyways, here's Doris Day. She had this show. Maybe some of you remember it. It was called, in case you're wondering, The Doris Day Show. And she used to open up with this song. I think she was on the streetcar singing or something like that. And it would go, K-Sara. Remember that? K-Sara, Sara, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. K-Sara, Sara, what will be, will be. Now, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being apathetic. You say, I'm just waiting for Jesus. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm just waiting for Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. That's not the patience he's talking about. He's talking about a specific type of patience, not just an apathetic, nonchalant, careless view of life. Here's what he's talking about. You're in Luke 21. I would imagine, go back with me, if you will, to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Now watch this. And bring forth fruit with what? Patience. That's the patience he's talking about. You're in Matthew 24. Maybe I told you to put a bookmark there. Go back to Matthew 24. Look with me in verse 44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That's the patience he's talking about. The patience of just doing what the Lord has said. And just keep at it. And be patiently waiting for the Lord. Patiently busy serving Him. That's the patience he's talking. And so in every generation, God is looking for those Christians who are patiently waiting for the Lord in their service. Patiently waiting for the Lord in enduring and persevering and their constant faithful, hopeful service to the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Let me put it this way. Here's what he's saying. When we live in this generation and we got all fretful because the economy may get in trouble, I mean, the economy could turn bad again. It happens. You know, it kind of goes like this. So what happens if the economy goes bad? You know what we say, oh, what are we going to do? Here's what we do. We say, you know what? We'll keep winning souls. Keep coming to church. Keep busy loving the brethren. We'll keep busy doing what the Lord told us. Whether I have a job or don't have a job, I'm still supposed to be a soul winner, am I not? Whether I have a job or not, am I still supposed to be in church? Is it supposed to be like this? Oh no, look, the world's going to end, I lost my job, everything's bad, I'm just not going to go to church anymore. Is that our response? No, we patiently serve Him. We're faithful no matter what the environment around us, no matter the circumstances, we just keep busy, we just keep plodding, we just keep serving the Lord faithfully. That's what He's talking about. When I come, I want to find you so doing, you're patiently serving me. The economy's in trouble, let's keep busy doing what God has told us. The banks get in struggle again, and the banks, it's funny, because when the banks get in struggle, we bail them out. When we get in trouble, the banks don't bail us out. You ever notice that? It does not work both ways. But the banks are struggling, or whatever may happen, we just keep busy doing what the Lord has told us to do. Who knows what the future is going to hold? I mean, they tell us North Korea has nukes, and they're almost have a missile that can reach America. That's kind of scary to think about it. I mean, Russia, at least, they had nukes, but they weren't crazy. They were aggressive, but they weren't crazy. North Koreans are kind of crazy. I mean, they kill their own people. They feed their people dirt and grass. I mean, they have no respect for life, and so that is kind of worrisome. What if North Korea gets nukes?
What if the man mullahs in Iran? What if they had nuclear? I mean, if they couldn't reach America, they'd at least like to nuke Israel. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. You send some bombs Israel's way, I think you might surprise how many bombs Israel has to send back their way. And all of a sudden, the Middle East is breaking out in nuclear war. And boy, what would that mean to all the proxies around them? I have no idea. But I know this. Until Jesus comes, I'm supposed to be busy serving Him. Doesn't change my responsibility to the Lord. Doesn't change what the Lord expects out of me. I'm supposed to read my Bible, supposed to pray, supposed to be in church, supposed to go soul winning, supposed to live for Him. I'm supposed to have the same patience of service to Him regardless. So I focus on my patience. In every generation, God is looking for those Christians who are patiently waiting for Him by faithfully serving Him. So what are we supposed to focus on? We focus on our testimony, live for the Lord. We focus on our patience, keep on serving the Lord. And then there's a third thing. Go back with me to Luke 21. Luke 21, go and look with me at verse 25. You cannot tell I'm trying to rush because I know I have X amount of voice. My throat's been sore all day, so I only have so much, and so I'm going to try to get through before it gets through. Luke 21, go with me to verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass. Now, let me just stop, because we're dealing with end times. He's talking about, and usually there's a mixture of rapture and revelation, and sometimes there's a blend of the two. And a lot of this is talking about the official revelation. They shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. That's not the rapture. That's the actual revelation, return of Christ to the earth. But I want you to turn your focus on verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, not when it happens, but as you see these things maybe beginning to happen, beginning to come to pass. And in our generation, we do see these things begin to pass. Whether it's officially going to happen in this generation, it looks like it could happen in this generation. So what happens as we see these things? Well, we focus on our testimony, we focus on our patience, and then number three, we focus on our look. By look, I don't mean appearance, I mean gaze, our looking at something. We focus on what we're looking at. Now, some time ago, I was going through the radio, and I heard this song come across the radio, Christian radio, and it talked about this, and it's this famous song, you probably heard it, and basically it says, He's already in your tomorrow. That's really an encouraging song. So whatever tomorrow holds, He's already there, He already knows what's happening tomorrow. Nothing ever surprises the Lord. The Lord never says, who would have thought? Man, it's like, for example, the election, nothing surprised God about that. Whatever happens tomorrow, nothing surprised the Lord. He's already in our tomorrow. And that's an encouragement. But watch this. It's also true. Now think about this. We are already in our tomorrow. Did you know that? The Bible says we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In other words, the Lord already sees the end of these things. He's already told us how everything turns out. We already know the end result. Whether or not Jesus comes in our lifetime, we know the end result of this life. If we're born again, we know the end result. I have a home in heaven. I know what the end is. And the Lord tells me that the rapture could happen at any time, so I'm looking for that as well. And so I already have an end to these things that I already know about. I don't know when I'll be in heaven, but I know I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know when the Lord is going to return, but I know the Lord is going to return. And so I can say this, I'm already in my tomorrow because I know the end of that. And so if you read the end of the book, guess what? We win, do we not? I don't know how many more elections there are going to be. I don't know what's going to happen in America. Maybe we got another 1,000 years and America will be in a trash heap of history and other nations will rise and the Lord will mix things up again and then bring it all to pass and then Jesus comes. I don't know the end result, but I know this. In the end, we win. It's already settled. There's no question about it. We're already secure in Christ. I'm not fretful saying, oh, what's going to happen? Okay, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know the what is. And the what is this, the Lord is coming, and He's going to fix everything. The Bible calls the rapture our blessed hope. That's what we're looking for. That's we focus our look on Him, not on the events of this world. We focus our look on the Lord Himself. Now, I'm not suggesting a head-in-the-sand approach. Some people say that, well, you know, preachers like to talk about, they want to put your head in the sand, ignore the world around you. I'm not saying that. The world around us, we need to be a witness. We need to be thoughtful what's going on. I'm not saying a head-in-the-sand approach. I'm saying an eye-to-the-sky approach. Know this, regardless of what's happening around us, the Lord's coming back. That should be our focus. That should be what excites us. That's what should cause us to get up in the morning. The truth of the matter is, we are living in a great time to be a Christian. Someone said this. It's probably true. There's no way to prove it. It's like saying, who's the better basketball player, LeBron James or Michael Jordan? Well, there's no way to prove it. If you ask me, it's Michael Jordan. You know why? Because that's where I grew up. I grew up with Michael Jordan. I like Mike. I want to be like Mike. I like to make the money Mike has. Okay? I'm not so cool in the shoes, but the money, that's pretty nice. Now, I grew up with a Michael Jordan. I mean, when he was winning the championships, that's when I was in the Chicagoland area. You know, all during that time, it was, you know, of course, you know, he went to, I'm just going to say, he went to 6 championships, he won 6 championships. Okay? That's enough said. So anyways, you can't really compare Michael Jordan to LeBron James. 2 different times, rules are different, the game is different. And so things, you can't always compare these things back and forth and can't say that, you know, when we're living today compared to how other people lived and what we do today compared. So you can't make direct comparisons, but someone said this, and I'm kind of trying to give myself a little room. I don't want to be too broad of a brush, but they said if what we're doing today as far as soul winning, as far as all these activities today, if we went back 100 years ago and put that much energy in, boy, 10 times, 100 times people would get saved because they were much more open for the gospel and our country wasn't so negative about the things of the Lord. And boy, you know, we do 100 times more and just get a little bit of the results. I don't know if that's true or not, but here's what I think. I think we live in the greatest time to be Christians. See, but Pastor White, I mean, these times people can't even figure out who to marry. These times people hate the Bible. These times you knock on door, they're not nice to you. They're unkind. They don't want nothing to do with you. They make fun of the Lord. You're right. They do. But I tell you this, this is the time the Lord put you in, which makes it a good time. And number 2 is this, it's easier to stand for the Lord today because a lot of people aren't standing for the Lord. You know, there was a time when it was just easy. I mean, everyone was saved. Everyone went to church. It's not true anymore. It's a great time to be a Christian. But here's a third reason. People in our country, people in our society, whether it's around the world or not, but at least people in our country, they have lost faith in almost everything. Part of what this election was. People lost faith. They lost faith in our government. People don't think our government works for them. Well, people don't think our government works. Whether who it works for is immaterial. It just doesn't work, it seems. They don't think the banks are for them. They don't think the economy is working. They don't think they're against the press, the media. It's like everything, every institution people are looking at, they're critical of, it's negative about. And really, they're looking for something to put their faith in. You know what? We have the answer for them. Here's what they need to put their faith in. This is the answer. Whether or not they want to hear it or accept it, but this is the answer. Now, let me put it this way. If our faith in God isn't good now, when would it ever be good? I mean, think about this. We live in times when we can have faith in the Lord and say it doesn't matter the government. Okay? It doesn't matter the president. It doesn't matter Congress. It doesn't matter Supreme Court. It doesn't matter what these states are doing. It doesn't matter about immigration. None of these things matter as far as our eternal goal, our eternal destination. We can have faith in God, trust Him. He can bring peace to our life today. What's the best way to respond to all the things happening around us? Thinking about what's happening, what could happen. Here's our best response. Ready? Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. It may be tomorrow, it may be today. That's our best response to tell people, you know what, Jesus is coming, He's going to fix all of this. Best time to be soul winning, right now. Best time living for Jesus, right now. Best time trying to do our best for Him, to shine like a light, right now. Now when we say this idea about keep looking up or, you know, it's an eye in the sky, we're not talking about necessarily being positive, being happy. We're not talking about happy-go-lucky. We're talking about this. Everything that happens in this world, we filter through Jesus is coming again. There's a filter that all the events, all the news, all the circumstances. Let's see if we can get to the end. So what does our future hold? Don't know. What's the outcome? Don't know. Have no idea. But I do know this, what the Lord wants for us to do. What does He want us to focus on as we consider our future? He wants to focus on our effort, our testimony for Him, our patient service to Him, and then our looking towards His return. It's interesting, in the Bible, it says there's a crown that He gives to those who are anticipating, looking for the return of Christ, having this expectancy. There's a blessing, a reward for them. Now, I don't know what your future holds. I have no idea. No idea of the outcome of all the things you're doing. But I can tell you this, I know what it should be, and that is the effort. It is given to every generation to live as if they are the last generation and expectantly wait for the return of the Lord. This could be, now I'm getting to the end of the message, this could be the very last generation. Think about this. We may be it. Wouldn't be ashamed to waste it. What if Jesus came in your lifetime? Some people would say this, boy, if I knew Jesus was coming in my lifetime, I would live differently. So I'm telling you, it may be your lifetime. Jesus could come in your lifetime. Well, if He came in my lifetime, boy, I'd want to tell more people. But it may be your lifetime. Maybe you need to tell some more people. Boy, if I thought Jesus was coming in my generation, I would want to have a better testimony. It may be your generation. Maybe we need a better testimony. That's what the future holds. We don't know the outcome, but we know the effort that it should hold. And that's what we should be focusing on.